Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My message title today is, I Have Seen the Messiah. I have seen the Messiah. And if we turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and there we'll read verse 25 through 39. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 39. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. My eyes have seen the Messiah, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He's not just the Messiah for the people of Israel, but he is the Messiah for the world. He is the salvation for the world. Not just this one group of people here, not just for the people that worship in this place, but for the people of the world that will accept him. He is the Messiah. He is the salvation. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Stop just a minute. Can't you just imagine how the parents there, Joseph, even though he was really the stepdad, and Mary, the mother, they brought this child in. And here the priest utters these words. Man, I can't imagine. I can try to imagine, but I don't think we can really know what must have gone through their minds and through their spirit right then as Simeon is uttering these words. My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. There was an excitement. There was probably almost an air of electricity going through them at that time as he's uttering these words. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. She was old. How many is 84 years? That's 80 years. She'd been a widow for 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Israel. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. Confirmation there. Simeon says, mine eyes have seen the Messiah. Mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. And she walks in moments later and confirms what he has just said. Salvation is here. I've seen the Messiah. Just kind of a little refresher for some folks. Christ is not Jesus or Yeshua's last name. There are a lot of people, if you ask them, what was Jesus' last name, they'd tell you Christ. No, that was not his last name. In fact, that's a title. Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which simply means anointed. Yeshua, the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. That's what it's saying there. He is the one that was anointed of God to be the Messiah. The one that Israel had looked for hundreds, yet even thousands of years. They had looked and yearned for the Messiah. And today, 2,000 years after his death and resurrection, we still now look forward to the return of the Messiah when he comes back and sets up the earthly kingdom that 2,000 years ago they wanted him to establish, but it was not yet time. And we are waiting and watching from that day that the Messiah returns. No, I haven't physically seen the Messiah with my own eyes, but I have felt the presence of the Messiah. I have cried out unto the Messiah, and the Messiah dwells with me because his Spirit dwells in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Messiah, Hebrew word, means anointed again. Same as the Greek word Christ, means anointed. The word Christ, therefore, is invariably used instead of Messiah in the New Testament as the official designation of our Lord, but it could have very simply been translated Jesus the Anointed. Jesus the Anointed. And he was anointed by who? He was anointed by his Father God. As he stood there and John baptized him in the river Jordan, the Bible tells us that as he came up out of that water, that the Holy Spirit descended as a dove from the heavens, and a voice spoke out and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the anointing of God was upon him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The prophet Isaiah, who was considered to be the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, quoted more than 50 times in the New Testament, wrote in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 6, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty unto the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Hallelujah. He's prophesying of the anointed one, of the Messiah that is to come. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And years later, hundreds of years later, Yeshua, also known as Jesus, stands in the temple in Jerusalem. And as he begins his first message after he's come back from the time of wandering in the wilderness there after the baptism by John, he stands up in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and quotes these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Amen. Somebody told me the other night that's going to be speaking, "Well, it might be kind of short." That was Jesus' first sermon. Because the Bible tells, if you read the rest of it, it says he sat down. Of course, they started asking some questions then. Who is this person? What's going on here? Remember also that the word anointed can be translated or mean consecrated. He has consecrated me. You know, sometimes when we pray over people to set them into a particular office in the church, we anoint them with oil. We consecrate them to that service in the church, whether it be of deacon or a pastor or whatever it may be. We anoint them with oil and we consecrate them to the service of God to do the duties that they have been called to do. He has been consecrated. Savior can also be translated salvation. In the Old Testament, Savior is usually some derivative of the word Yashah, to save. He is the Savior. He is the one that came to save his people. But he came not only to save the people of Israel, the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, but he came to save anyone who would call upon his name. The Bible tells us that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I want to point out here, that doesn't mean you can say, well, Jesus saved me, and halfway mean it. And some people do that. You've got to mean it down inside. It's got to come from the heart when you call out unto the Lord and say, Jesus, save me. And when it comes from the heart, He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to say, oh, well, come back another time and we'll think about it then. But it says He will save you. The biggest problem is with people getting saved is they think about, well, I'll do it another time. I know Jesus can save me. I know that He can be my Messiah. I know that He can be my Savior. But I got time. There's some people who think, well, I can wait till I'm gasping my last breath and then I can call out. But you know what? You don't always get a chance to know when you're going to gasp that last breath. I wouldn't take a chance on that. Chances are, you'll lose. Savior. Isaiah the prophet again writes in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Again, speaking of Jesus, there is no one else. A lot of people like to be Savior. A lot of people have thought they've been Savior. But they're not. There is only Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. And I know there are some folks out there today that say, oh, you're taking too hard a stance there. You're just an old fuddy-duddy. You're lost in the dark ages there. There's all kinds of ways. It's not what the Word of God has to say. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of Johnny-come-latelys who would like to think they're Messiah and that they can do all of these things. But you know what? Most of them have gone the way of all other false prophets and false teachers, and nothing happened. Oh, some of them founded a few religions out there that still are around, but they didn't save anybody. Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47 says, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Then in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's time after time, quotation after quotation that says Christ is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. He is our Savior. We read in John chapter 4, Jesus standing at a well in Samaria. And a woman who is a Samaritan woman approaches him. And we talk about prejudice today and how we try to eliminate prejudice. And I'll be honest, I think everybody has a measure of prejudice in them. I think we learn it from one thing or another. And we don't always have necessarily the same types of prejudice. I tell people I'm prejudiced against stupidity, not people who are unlearned or don't know something because they may not have the, but some people may have a degree and they're still stupid, you know, and that just irritates me. But back in those days, in the time of Jesus, the Jews were prejudiced against the Samaritans and they didn't like them. So here's Jesus standing at a well in Samaria. This woman comes up to him, and in verse 25 says, The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. I know Messiah is coming. I've heard about it. I know it's going to happen. And I know we're all looking forward to it. Then we go on down to verse 42, Jesus speaking, and he said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that indeed, this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is the Christ. They had seen the Messiah. They had seen the Anointed One. They had stood there and they had physically been in his presence and spoken with him. We have seen the Messiah. Again, we don't have the opportunity to stand in his physical presence today, but we can be in his bask in his spiritual presence as he dwells with us, as his spirit moves in our midst, and we can be in the presence of Messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Messiah is here. Hallelujah. John goes on to write, Paul goes on as he's speaking to the people of Antioch. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22 and 23, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. And he's talking about Saul. When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, a Messiah, Jesus. As he's preaching to the people of Antioch, Jesus is the Messiah, he declares to them, the one that was promised back in the days of David the king, that his seed, from which his seed would come, the Messiah. And I'm telling you of this man, Jesus. John goes on to write in 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. One translation says he sent his one and only unique Son to be the Savior of the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jude, who in the Greek, his name was Judas. In the Hebrew, his name was Judah. And he was possibly the half-brother of Jesus. And a benediction that he writes in his gospel, Jude chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, our Messiah, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. And reading that same verse from the complete Jewish Bible, it says, Now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you without defect and full of joy in the presence of his Shekinah, the glory of God, that Shekinah glory that only comes from God, he can set you in that presence. To God alone, our deliverer, through Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Puts out there pretty plain right there. Our Messiah. Our Messiah. And we have the opportunity as children of God, those who have accepted Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, as our Messiah, to come into the presence of God's glory. Hallelujah. And we can experience the Shekinah glory of God. Oh, there's some events that we may have in our life that may be glorious, but nothing is like the glory, the Shekinah of God. And we can only experience it from God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But Jesus goes on to warn that false Christs or Messiahs will come. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 23 through 26, he says, Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Who's the elect? That's us, folks. That's those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Messiah. We are the elect. And he's saying there's going to come people that could possibly even deceive the elect. And I can remember looking back at some of the folks that have been on the scene in the last 50, 60 years and seeing how people who were children of God that had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior were following after people that were leading them astray. There was one preacher in California. I'm not going to call him by name, but I'll tell you this, he's a false prophet. Spoke to the people with such great words of eloquence that many pastors even were ready to follow him. When I was going to Bible college, one of my classmates, we were talking about it, and he said, my dad went to a meeting, and he said he was ready to affiliate our church with this ministry because it sounded so good. And he turned out to be a false prophet, led many people astray. We've mentioned many times here in this place, Jim Jones, a lot of people thought he sounded good. But look what happened to them as they ended up in the jungles of Guyana, dead, following the wrong Messiah, the wrong Christ. Well, throughout history, there have been, well, let me finish what I was reading there. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. And we hear people say, oh, I'm over here. I'm here. Oh, no, no, I'm over here. No, he's over there. Don't believe it. Historically, we know that there are those who claim to be the Messiah before the birth of Jesus and many others that have come after him. And I just want to give you a few examples. I've got 5 pages of them. But we're not going to go over all of those. There was Simon Magnus and Dositheus, the Samaritan, in the mid-first century. I mean, this was just a short time after Jesus that they claimed to be the Messiah. There was Montanus, who claimed to be the Paraclete in the second century. Anne Lee, 1700s, who was a central figure to the Shakers, who thought she embodied all the perfections of God in female form. How many of you know the Shakers? Here in the South, we hear about Shaker furniture, you know. We've got a piece of Shaker furniture. It's probably around 100 years old, and it's probably the most solid piece of furniture in our house. It'll probably be around a long time after we're gone because they built good furniture. But they were following a false leader, a false prophet. Bernhard Müller, 1799 to 1834, claimed to be the Lion of Judah and a prophet in the possession of the Philosopher's Stone. Arnold Potter, 1800s, he was a Latter-day Saint, schismatic leader who called himself Potter Christ. Makes me think about Harry Potter there a little bit. I wonder if he was a relative. William W. Davies, 1833 to 1906, he was also a Latter-day Saint schismatic leader who claimed that his infant son, Arthur, born in 1868, was the reincarnated Jesus Christ. There was George Baker, 1880 to 1965, also known as Father Divine. Ever hear of him? Father Divine was an African-American spiritual leader from about 1907 until his death. I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah. Haile Selassie of Ethiopia. We've all heard of Haile Selassie, studied about him in history. At least I assume you heard about him in history. 1892 to 1975. He was, by the way, an emperor of one of the Middle Eastern countries, actually Ethiopia. He was the Messiah of the Rastafarian movement. How many of you know the Rastafarians? Okay, some of you have not heard of them, some of you have. It's predominantly a African-American movement, and they wear their hair in the cornrows and let it grow long and don't take baths and stuff like that. And you'd see them in places like Jamaica, Trinidad, places of that nature. You see them also a lot on the East Coast. But he claimed to be the Messiah. Sun Myung Moon, founder of the Unification Church, claims he is the second coming of Christ. He's still around in Korea. Yahweh Ben Yahweh, 1935 to 2007, a black nationalist and separatist who created the Nation of Yahweh and allegedly orchestrated a number of murders of dozens of people. Here's another one right now. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda, born in 1946, a Puerto Rican preacher who has claimed to be the man Jesus Christ, who is indwelled with the same spirit that dwelled in Jesus, founder of the Growing in Grace Ministries. You might even see him on television. He's the Messiah, he says. David Koresh, founder of the Branch Davidians. Of course, we all heard about their end. They're in Waco, Texas. And David Shaler, former M15 agent and whistleblower who declared himself to be the Messiah on 7th of July, 2007. I am the Messiah. And there are others out there today that run around claiming, I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. I'm here. I am there. Come follow me. And it's amazing how many people will follow them. Did you ever stop to think about that? How many will follow them? And this one's probably going to get me in trouble, but I'm only going to report what's actually been on the news. Last year, or earlier this year, I guess is when it actually came out, but happened last year, Minister Louis Farrakhan, the controversial leader of the Nation of Islam, has declared Barack Obama to be the Messiah. I saw the video of it myself. We have seen the Messiah. Now, I'll have to be fair here and say I have not heard Barack Obama say himself that he's the Messiah. I've only heard Louis Farrakhan say that. And let's face it, I don't accept what Louis Farrakhan says, so he's not the Messiah. But that's the thing. Some people get declared to be the Messiah by people other than themselves. Oh, this person's the Messiah. Follow them, follow them, follow them. There's only one Messiah. Only one. And his name is Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Anointed One. He is the Savior of the world. And only through him can we be saved. We can't be saved in the name of any of these other people that are mentioned here, or that five-page list that I've got. We can't be saved in their name. We can only be saved in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And Father, today I ask that if there are any listening to this message that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that right now the Holy Spirit would begin to deal with their life and with their heart, and they can say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Messiah, as my Savior, and I give my life to him, and I call upon his name for salvation. And Father, as you speak to hearts today, I pray that lives will be touched and changed, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.